that little epistle just tucked in away there before the book of Hebrews. So you're able to find the book of Hebrews, and then just before that you have Paul's epistle to Philemon. Whilst you're turning up the portion, let me thank our brother for his words of welcome. Say that it is a joy and a privilege to be with you today, and I trust indeed that we will know and experience the rich blessing of the Lord as we fellowship one with the other, but especially with the Lord. Let's just take time to read this little epistle together, reading from the first verse. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow labourer, and to our beloved Apphia, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee, how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do me, or do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Amen. This epistle of Philemon is a 2,000-year-old letter that Paul sent to a man who bears the name of the epistle Philemon. It contains certainly tremendous spiritual truths. Paul's letter is informative and it is interesting. It is also inspired. As such, it is beneficial for us to read and to consider. This epistle does not contain so much, as it were, doctrinal statements. Rather, it illustrates them. So a good way of looking at the epistle of Philemon is to view it as a picture book that is going to illustrate and show forth tremendous spiritual truths and doctrine. Paul was writing to this man, Philemon. He was, in effect, his spiritual father. In fact, he reminded Philemon about that. Paul had personally pointed this man to Christ. Philemon had a slave by the name of Onesimus. Onesimus had done despite to his master and had, as a result, run away from home. Most commentators are of the opinion that he had actually stolen from Philemon. Onesimus then made a very long journey to Rome. It was there in Rome that he met the Apostle Paul and was converted to faith in Jesus Christ. Paul is now writing to this man, Philemon, to tell him about the wonderful change that has taken place in the life of Onesimus. He asks Philemon to forgive his runaway slave. He is writing to this man that in order that he might be reconciled to him. Within this letter, there is great emphasis placed upon relationships. There is much instruction in this small epistle as to how you and I can and we ought to live with other people in our homes, in our families, in the church. In fact, in everyday life, there is tremendous practical instruction and application here in this little book. You and I will only have a right relationship with the Lord, or rather, we only have a right relationship with other people whenever we have a right relationship with the Lord. Now I want us to look at some of the tremendous spiritual truths that are here illustrated in this epistle to Philemon. Let's here first of all consider Paul's appreciation and praise for Philemon. Paul here, in effect, is being what we would now term a character witness for Onesimus. Here Paul is being a character witness. And he tells us in this epistle something about Philemon, the sort of man that he really is. I suppose that there are a number of us here today, quite a few people here will have perhaps borne character witness to someone. You've been asked to give a reference, perhaps a job reference, someone seeking employment, and they've asked you to give them a character reference, to speak about the sort of person that they really are. After all, you know the person, you know the sort of mannerisms, the way that they conduct their business, etc., and you've been asked to bear reference. Well, Paul here bears reference to this man, Philemon. He tells us what sort of a man he really is. He is a man of faith. Look at verse 1 in this little epistle. Paul says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. He commences by telling us that Philemon is, in effect, a man of faith. He is a Christian, a man of God. Look at verse 4 and 5 as well. Verse 4 says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Paul here gives the Lord thanks and praise for this godly man, for the life of this man. And you can be sure that whenever Paul speaks highly of any man or woman, that man or woman truly and surely is a man of faith, a woman of faith. He wasn't here speaking to Philemon and bearing this witness in order to try and in some way flatter him so that he will take his slave back. No, rather Paul here recognized that he was a man of God, and as such, he wants to pay tribute. He wants to thank God for that tremendous life. Look at some of the characteristics of Philemon's life. In verse 21, the Apostle Paul here writing speaks about the sincerity of this godly man. Look at verse 21. Let's read it together. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Here we see the sincerity of this man. You see, as Paul addresses him, as he writes this little letter to him, he speaks of the fact that Philemon was, in effect, one who was obedient. Here is one of the essential characteristics of any child of God, of any believer, obedience to the Lord. A sincere desire to follow the Lord and to be obedient to Him. And as Paul was writing the letter, he had in mind this great fact that he was writing to one who would want to please the Lord. He was a godly man, one who loved the Lord, and one who at any time would seek to serve the Lord and to obey the Lord. Oh, that might be true of each one of us here today. I wonder, can others, perhaps even today, reflecting upon our lives, would they be able to say, well, that man or woman there, they are such a person, their nature is such that they want to obey the Lord. They want to be subject unto the Lord. Here also in verse 21, Paul goes on to say, not only is he a sincere man, but he's also a very generous man. For he says that, thou wilt also do more than I say. And this is one of the great characteristics of Philemon's life. That he was a man who not only done what was required of him, but he gave the extra, he went the further mile. What a tremendous testimony Paul here bears of this man. Here's the type of man that Philemon really was. He was a generous man. He was a liberal man. If you look at verse 6 and 7, here Paul also speaks about that liberality, that generosity. Paul says, well, in verse 7, for we have great joy and consolation, I love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. He was a man who practically supported and furthered the work of God. He was one who was not only obedient, but he was willing to go the extra mile to give and to give sacrificially unto the work of God. What a man he is. Look at verse 22. We're learning something else here about this man, Philemon. We learn here about his spirituality, for he is undoubtedly a man of prayer. And you will always find that any man or woman of God who is obedient, who is liberal, will always be a man or woman of prayer. Always. Look at verse 22. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. And Paul had this in mind. As he was writing to this man, he was writing to one who was constantly and continually at the throne of grace. He was in sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord, and Paul recognized that. He was a man of prayer. I just wonder, as we stop here for a moment, can it be said of you and I that we are men and women of prayer? How much time have you given this week to prayer? Then we learn something else about this man. Not only is he sincere and generous, a spiritual man, a man who prays, but we also find that he is one given to hospitality. Look at verse 22. But withal prepare me also a lodging. You see, Paul here knew that as he was writing to this man, that he was a man who would willingly open up the doors of his own home to give him a place to lay his head. Nothing would be an inconvenience to further the work of God. No, he is going to be one who is going to give sacrificially. He is given to hospitality. What a man of God Philemon really is. Here was one who loved the Lord. He was undoubtedly a rich businessman. We can draw that conclusion because he had many slaves. However, we're told here in verse 2 that the church met in his house. In those particular days, there were no lovely, as it were, church buildings. The church was in its infancy in the New Testament, so this man had opened the doors of his house for other believers to meet together. He wasn't, you see, afraid or ashamed to be identified with the gospel. No, rather, though he has been prospered and he is wealthy, he is rich, he sides up, as it were, with the gospel, with the Lord. He is willing to open the doors of his house, not only given to hospitality to let people stay there, but also that the gospel may be furthered in preaching. And the people of God met there. Here is an influential, prosperous businessman who had been converted and changed by the gospel, born again of the Spirit of God, and as such is now living by God's grace. But I want us also here to consider Paul's appeal and plea for Onesimus. For Paul not only speaks here so highly about Philemon, but he then makes an appeal for this runaway slave called Onesimus. In verse 1, Paul here starts by recording that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. It is very interesting that Paul here does not begin this epistle by stamping, as it were, his apostleship and his authority. Rather, he is going to deal very tenderly, graciously with this man because he recognizes here is a man of God. Let's just compare some of the other epistles that Paul wrote. If you turn, for instance, to the book of Galatians, here you will find in the opening verses of the book of Galatians how the Apostle Paul was going to address the believers. Galatians chapter 1, and the verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not by men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. So here Paul is speaking to the believers, and he's saying that he is an apostle. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse 1 as well. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Then turn over to the book of Philippians and the chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus. The book of Colossians also, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. But here, as Paul is writing to this man, Philemon, although he has the right to command, he doesn't do that. Rather, he speaks of himself being a prisoner. He is a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And as such, being a prisoner, he is compelled to speak the truth. And he will speak it in love to his brother Philemon. Paul here was pleading for Onesimus, Philemon's slave. The one who had robbed him and then who had run away. In fact, not only had he run away, but he certainly had the intention of getting very, very far away from his master. He had made that journey of over 1,000 miles to the city of Rome. Consider the importance and the significance of the name Onesimus. Onesimus means profitable or useful. So here we find this man, Onesimus, whose name means profitable or useful, but he wasn't living up to his name. I wonder, is there a young person, an older person here this morning in the house of God? And you have the name of being a free Presbyterian, and yet you do not know Christ as Savior. Perhaps you have even been given a birth, a biblical name. There's a significance in that name, and that yet you are not living up to what that name signifies or what it means. Think of this. Here was a slave who had left the house of Philemon, a godly man, to run away to Rome. Rome, of course, was a very wicked place. It was a place of idolatry. Here we have most certainly a picture, an illustration of the prodigal son. Here was one who couldn't wait to get away, as it were, from the godly influence. We've been thinking about some of the qualities, and I say just some of the qualities of this godly man, Philemon. How he's a man of prayer, how he's a man who is generous, how he's a gracious man, how he's a spiritual man. And yet for all of that, think of this. Here was Onesimus, and he couldn't wait to get away from that home, to get away from that influence. He wants to go his own direction in life. He wants to go to Rome, to a city of wickedness. And yet he would soon find out that all the world has to offer and to give will never satisfy the longing of their soul. In the providence of the Lord, Onesimus was brought to meet the Apostle Paul. Many commentators believe that it was through wrongdoing that he actually ended up in prison. His life, you see, was one that was going away from the things of God, and as such was spiraling downward, and through crime, through some act, he was brought into prison there to meet the Apostle Paul. Let me, in bypassing, just encourage the Lord's people here. Is there a mother or father here today? You have a son or daughter, a loved one who has run away from the Lord, from the things of God. I trust that this word this very morning will be a means of encouraging your heart. That loved one, praise God, cannot outrun the Holy Spirit. Here was one who had been brought upright. And although far, far away in the city of Rome, it was there in the providence of God, the Lord would deal with his heart. And God would answer prayer. He was converted to faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, it was Paul who personally led this runaway slave to the Lord. We see the change that took place in his heart, for now he is a humble man. The Word of God, you see, tells us about the life-transforming power of the Holy Ghost. That if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Oh, Onesimus had been an unprofitable runaway slave. One who had done despite, who had done wrong, who had sought to get away from the godly home. But now, through the grace of God, his life has changed. My friend, that is the power, the dynamic of the gospel. And his life is now completely turned around by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said that he was a humble man, and that is very clearly seen here, because this letter that Paul had written, he then placed into the hand of Onesimus, and he sent Onesimus home to his master. There he would make that long journey back homeward. For he is now a changed man, one who is now humble and obedient to the gospel. You can almost picture Philemon's servants running in to tell the master, the runaway slave is back, Onesimus is back. But he was back because his heart and his life was changed. The Apostle Paul speaks of that change that has now taken place in this man's life. He's been saved and changed by the grace of God. Look at verse 13. Whom I would have retained with me, that in I steady might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Paul here speaks of the change that has taken place. Paul, speaking to Philemon, was saying to him that he could keep him there with him, that he would rather retain him, because here is a man who now loves Christ, whose life has changed. But he recognizes that this man, Onesimus, needs to return home and to put things right with his master. Paul, the apostle, he appeals to Philemon to forgive Onesimus. Look at verse 16. He says to him that he wants to receive him back. Onesimus, you see, is now his brother in the Lord, and as such, as a believer, he is to be forgiven. As I said in my introduction, this epistle illustrates doctrinal truths, and it does in a very powerful and a very vivid way. Paul here is acting as mediator. He pleads on the behalf of Onesimus. He is, in reality, his representative. He is representing Onesimus. Paul here is seeking to reconcile these two men, Philemon, the offended party, and Onesimus, that runaway slave who had robbed his master. Here Paul is going to mediate between these two men. What a wonderful picture of the gospel, of what Christ has done for us as sinners. You see, metaphorically, Paul here is taking the hand of Philemon and the hand of Onesimus, and he is bringing these two men together. He is bringing the offender and the offended party together. This is the theme of the epistle. We are all like Onesimus. The Word of God reminds us that we are all gone out of the way. That we are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Men and women, we have all sinned against God. We have all violated and broken God's holy laws and commandments. We are all of us, we have become unprofitable unto God. We've all departed and gone away from the Lord. If you look here in verse 15, we're told here that this man, Onesimus, he had departed for a season. Then in verse 18, we're told that he had wronged his master. Oh, listen, we have all wronged the Almighty God. We have all sinned against our Creator, against our Sovereign. Paul here could act on Onesimus' behalf because he alone was qualified to do that. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, Paul says, "If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." Paul and Philemon were partners. They were related. Paul had personally pointed this man to Christ. And Paul, therefore, in a sense, is able to put his arm around Philemon. And in speaking about this slave, he is able to speak to him as one who is a partner. One who is related. And he is speaking on the behalf of this man, Onesimus. Let me say today that there is only one person who can plead for us in heaven. There is only one representative that we can have in the courts of God. It is not a minister or a saint. It is not Mary or a priest. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own dear Son. He is God the Son, and He is the Son of God. When the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, he reminded him, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." Why? Because Christ alone is qualified to do so. He alone has the right to enter into heaven's court. He alone has the right to plead with God the Father. Because He alone is God the Son and the Son of God. He alone has that right to reach out the hand to the sinner, the guilty party, the offender. And to reach out the other hand to God and to unite such together, to bring together. He alone can intercede on the behalf of His people. Here in closing, we see Paul's assurance and pledge of himself. Here we have illustrated the doctrine of reconciliation. The word means to bring together. Paul, in being Onesimus' representative, has this end in mind. That's why Paul was writing. Paul desired that Onesimus and Philemon would be brought together in fellowship. Look at verse 12. Paul here says, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. Look at verse 15. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So three times over in this short epistle, Paul pleads with Philemon to receive the man. Receive Onesimus back again. Oh, he has wronged you. He has grieved you. He has done despite to you. But he is now a changed man. And I want you to receive him. That is what reconciliation is. Bringing people together again. And Paul admits, yes, Paul, that this man had stolen from Philemon. He had been no good. He had done despite. He had been unprofitable. He deserved judgment, but he asks him to take him back again. And he asks him not to take him back as a servant, but to take him back rather as a brother. You see, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ does for the Christian, for the child of God. He represents us before the Father. He reconciles us. He brings us together in his person and through his work. Paul here not only stands as mediator for Onesimus, but also as his surety. Look at verse 18. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. The Lord Jesus Christ is a sinner's only surety. For our sins have been reckoned to Christ's account. Praise God, there is much for us to thank the Lord for today as God's people. We can rejoice that in heaven there is no record of our sins. Because we're trusting in Christ alone. And whenever that account is brought up, there is no record of our sins. We are free, completely free from that debt. And that is because the blood of Christ has atoned for that sin. And that sin is forgiven, it is blotted out. The Word of God teaches us that in order to enter heaven, that we need a perfect righteousness. A righteousness equal to that of God Himself. And yet, we do not have that righteousness. We cannot meet that standard that God requires of our life. But here, even here in this epistle, we're pointed to behold Christ. The one who unites a sinner unto a holy God. Because Christ's righteousness is reckoned to our account by faith. The moment that you trust Christ as Savior, not only is your sin blotted out and forgiven, but that righteousness, His righteousness, is placed against your account. Here in verse 25, the epistle ends by speaking of the grace of God. And Paul here reminds us of that grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. You see, all that we are and have or ever will be is due to God's free grace. It's all by grace. This is my story. To God alone be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Onesimus was brought back into fellowship with Philemon to the gospel. That change of heart, change of life. Dear friend, there's only one way. Only one way that you can prepare to meet God, and that is through Christ. Through Christ and through Christ alone. He alone can reconcile you to God. He alone can repay and blot out your sins. May you trust Him this very day for Jesus' sake. In closing, let's just turn off that union.